Hey, and welcome to another Rich Mind podcast. I so am happy that you're able to jump in on this. Look, this one's a little bit different. It is me and no one else. But I was chatting to a few people, have been for the last few months, just about some thoughts. And one of them encouraged me, why don't you put them out? And I thought, yeah, why not? And so I'm here and I'm calling this one Church Insights and Learns from the Last 12 Months. 2022. We're obviously wrapping it up. I'm going to try and get this out before we hit 2023. Otherwise, that'll be a bit odd if not. But I'm going to hopefully get it out. And the idea being is that I'm able just to inspire and encourage anyone who's building local church with four thoughts that I've got. So let's jump straight in. 2022. It's been one of those absolutely crazy years for many reasons. But I think you've got to remember way back in 2021, in the UK, we came out of restrictions, and those restrictions meant that we could actually meet. We could meet in person. We could do a whole load of stuff. Really exciting. And so we went into 2022. I think every church in the planet went in with this idea and this sense that God's doing something new. And that scripture in Isaiah 43:19, where it says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" What an amazing scripture. And I think every church, or at least every ministry on the planet, definitely used it to say God's doing something new. It was blindingly obvious. And over this last 12 months, I pretty much have spent most days, there's obviously lots that I haven't, but most days it's felt like I've spoken to pastors, ministry leaders, getting insights, chatting to them about where they're at, helping some people as well. And so I just wanted to put out, at the end of these 12 months, four things that I think have been springing up in the church. Hopefully they'll encourage you. I'm sure there's loads more. You'll have a stack load. But these are my four things that I think are springing up in the church. It excites me, these four things. It gives me hope for what God's doing. So let's jump straight in. All right, the first one is what I'm calling the rise of the unknown pastor. I think there's a lot of people who've maybe used the term celebrity pastor. It's kind of a slang term that's put out there for anybody who doesn't like anyone who's famous, essentially. And I'm not talking about that. I'm not trying to pull anyone down for being online or for promoting a book or promoting themselves. Look, I firmly believe, and I've been around church long enough to understand that sometimes that's just a gift on people, and God does raise up people who've got a much more prominent platform or a prominent way of doing ministry. And I have been majorly blessed by that. And I'm sure you have too. But what I've loved seeing in 2022 is the rise of the unknown pastor. And I'm not talking about unknown as in that they are nobodies. It's not, again, another slang term. It's very much an endearment term. It's a term that is really, I think, what Jesus was trying to get to. We saw Jesus when in the Gospels we read he'd gone to heal people, and then he gave them instruction, please don't tell anyone. And there's this idea of, look, if my profile gets out there, if I'm pulled away to other things and can't get on with the job that's in front of me, it's going to be a major distraction. And what I've loved seeing is a lot of people being raised up who are now pastoring or leading significant ministries. And they don't have massive international profiles. They probably could because they possess the skills, or it could be bestowed or gifted to them. Should that be what God's want to do? But what I've loved is they've restrained from a lot of that, or they've held back, or it's just not in their kitty. And they've gone ahead and they've started to just pastor, and they're not known, but they are incredible pastors. They're just amazing at what they do. They see the people in front of them or the ministry that's at hand, and they get on with it. You can't find them massively on social media. You can't pick up their tapes or CDs or whatever else it might be. They're not huge on that side of things. But the fruit that's coming from and the churches that they're looking after and the ministries that they're leading are starting to grow and develop and are incredibly healthy. I think this side of ministry life, this rise of the unknown pastor, is amazing. Their unknownness is like an earthly superpower, unknown so they can fulfill what's on earth. And it's more of a spirit of humility, and there's a deep security about who these people are And they're so grateful, and I'm so grateful for being raised with people who maybe were a little bit more prominent or were well-known or were sought after for their advice or wisdom. But they have this great deep desire, not just to go to the ends of the earth, but to go to their Jerusalem and Judea first. And then because they're doing that, it's not maybe the most flash preaching, or it's not maybe the most earth-shattering way of doing things, but the people that in front of them, or the ministries that they're leading and that the people are leaning into, are so grateful that the people that they're trusting with their lives, essentially, are being led in a great way because they're not known. They've been able to hold off flying here or doing things that others before them maybe had done. And so I think 2022 has shown us this rise of the unknown pastor. And I think it's a great addition to the local church. And it's not derogatory. It's not a downplay. It doesn't mean they don't have it. I'm sure that some of them are going to become known, and that's fine. But they're going to have to handle that. They're going to have to do what they need to do with that. But I know for sure that many of these people don't want it. They just want to look after the people that God's given them. The second one is what I'm calling the rise of ministries beyond a Sunday saying. The rise of ministries beyond a Sunday saying. I am mad about church. I love local church. But I think 2022, for sure this last 12 months, has shown us that the Sunday saying of church is definitely valuable. It's part and parcel of what God's doing. It's a great way to equip a group of people and bring people together. But isn't it great that we've seen so many good things rise up beyond a Sunday saying of church? We've all seen those Sunday settings from years gone by where if you had a gift, it had to come into a Sunday kind of set piece or a Sunday-centric way of doing things. But I'm loving seeing and hearing of all these amazing things that are happening that are not related to a Sunday setting. The other week, I was invited by a great person called Tyler Preby, who runs an amazing ministry called Missional Labs. And he invited me, along with a whole heap of other people, onto a Zoom call for 2 nights. And the Zoom call was with 10 people on a Thursday night and 10 people on a Friday night. And they were pitching ideas, ministry ideas, and things that they felt God had laid on their heart that were not churches. These weren't the equipping of the saints through discipleship that we've seen through Sundays or small groups. These were projects and ideas that were way outside of a Sunday saying. And they complemented what the local church was doing on a Sunday or midweek. They so complemented it. There was all sorts in there, from people who wanted to run Christian dating things through to others who wanted to establish ways to help people in third world countries of how they could pastor better and how they could help their people better. And they got creative ideas around it. It was amazing. It was an hour and a half each night. It's probably the best Zoom I've been on for a long, long time. And we've been on a lot of those Zooms. And it was this idea that, wow, like God is doing something way beyond the Sunday setting of local church. And thank God for great leaders leading churches who are now releasing people and not trying to hold them in to run everything through the church ways, but saying to people, just go do what you need to do. And we're seeing the rise of ministries and programs and kingdom initiatives that are way beyond this Sunday setting. All right, the third thing that I think I've seen over the last 12 months is what I'm calling the rise of unity in the body. Unity in the body. I think it's been amazing just to see the church help and come together. It was so kickstarted over COVID, where every church was kind of working out on ministry, trying to figure out how do we do this, and realizing we need friends to help us. And that's not stopped when restrictions have been lifted. It's not stopped. We've started to see churches unite over great things, helping each other out with projects, whether it be getting food to the poor or whether it be getting Christmas hampers or Easter help to people. It's been amazing to see the church come together. I remember this year, I had the great privilege of being able to go to the Big Church Festival. And at that church festival, I was asked to host what is known as the worship tent with another friend of mine. It was a real special 2 days that we were there. And it's amazing. If you've never been, I mean, I just want to say get to it. It's absolutely incredible. Well, what was so special is I remember Matt Ma, who's one of the really incredible worship leaders that God's raised up. He's a Catholic worship leader, Matt Ma. He was there leading worship on stage. And then in this audience, you've got Pentecostals, charismatics. You've got students who are in the mix who are probably working out where they stand on lots of issues and things, which is amazing. They all see, I remember looking and there was a guy and he was from the Orthodox Church and he got all his Orthodox kind of robes on. And I just thought, isn't this amazing that you've got all these mixes going on and what you've not got is people debating or fighting. You've just got people uniting. And I know worship's always done that, but there's this sense of God is just doing this uniting. There's a unity in the church body that's boundaries are falling down and barriers are falling down and people are going where relationships are. And those relationships cross denominations. Those relationships are crossing kind of what you call theological or doctrinal differences. And we're seeing that people can lay this down and for the sake of the body, they're realizing, well, look, they're really good in that area. We're just going to help and be a part of what they're doing. Or these guys are amazing. I remember seeing this year in the church that I'm at, another church in the city was unable to get their building and they brought their whole church to our church, one of the services. This is unheard of in the circles that we've been in. Another friend of mine, he's got a large church building. And another church further down the road didn't have a building for many months post-COVID. And so for many months, they asked if they could borrow it. And the church leader said, that's fine, come use it. And the kind of barriers are, but ones that people get confused because it's got their church name on the building. It just didn't matter. And this unity, this sense of people are uniting and barriers are being dropped is so healthy. And there's been great forerunners who have been helping pave the way for us. And I really believe and hope that this is going to rise a whole lot more, the rise of unity in the body. And the fourth one, the last one that I kind of noticed is what I'm calling the rise of open hearts. Open hearts. Hey, look, we've all been building church and trying to tell people about this amazing news of Jesus. But you know what I think's happening and what I'm seeing is people's hearts are open more so than ever. You know, you go back 15, 20 years ago and what was happening is you try to talk to people about Jesus. You try to explain to them about God, but there was just nowhere for it to land in people. They didn't need it. Everything was on the up. The schools were getting better. The hospitals were getting better. People's wages were getting better. They just didn't need it. And so it's like, well, what is it? And so the church did a great revamp job of saying, hey, you might not understand why, but we're more relevant now into your world. And so lots of great things happened. We saw the church actually stepping into a place of relevancy, which I think was a great thing. And we were all part of it. But now you're seeing that people's hearts are so much more open. How many people do we know, including ourselves or family or work colleagues who are just on the edge of things, who at any point it can have that sense that it's going to break. They are dealing with some big mental health challenges or they're facing things in their family that they never thought they'd ever have to face before. The stories of heartbreak and the stories of what's going on around the world, this meant that people's hearts are far more open than ever before. You know, the last two Christmases, I've had a great privilege of being asked to speak at what is known as the kind of Christmas special service, of which the big invite service for people to come to. It's a 10-minute slot. And last year when I spoke, it was amazing. And we invited people to take a book at the end of the service. Well, this year I kind of did the same thing again, a different message, but 10 minutes to invite people to hear the good news of Christmas, the good news of Jesus. And at the end, we offered out Jay John's Christmas book. I think it's called The Christmas Connection. And it's an explanation of who Jesus is. And my whole message was very, very clear. It was clear about God and darkness and God's light. And I was very open about it as well. And our call to people to find out more and call to people's hearts who were open was to take a book. And people were going to be stood in the foyer. And I think we had about 5 people in the foyer for each service. There's 4 services. 3,000 people came to the 4 services. And at the end, they were holding the books up, but they've made a decision this year to not give them out to anyone and everyone, but just hold them and kind of let people come to them. Well, the most amazing thing happened. And 500 people took one of these booklets. And it made me realize 2 things that they made me realize is, number one, it was a lot easier to speak to people. It was as if their hearts were wide open. And I remember thinking in the middle of one of the messages, like, they're wide open. It was like you could hear a pin drop. It wasn't like my message was any different or radically wow, or I'd have got some major point that was going to blow open their mind. it was the same, just the good news presented. And then to see that 500 plus people took these booklets, that's 17% of the room. And one of the guys who was giving the booklets out said that people come in saying, can I please have a booklet that that guy spoke about on stage? And they were very purposely saying, I want one of those. Now, it's just a very small little thing. I get that. It's not conclusive evidence-wise. But I think there's a whole heap of other things where people's hearts are a lot more open to hearing about Jesus, a lot more open to the possibility that they could be in relationship with God or could find him, that they could have forgiveness. And I loved this Christmas watching Charlie Mackesy's film that had come out on the BBC, which is the Child, the Horse, the Mole, the Fox, something like that. I probably misquoted it. I remember at the end of that film watching it, I was watching with my mum and both of us crying because it was like, this is really amazing. And at the end, there was a great line that says, you know, we're made to be loved and to love. And this was going up to millions of people watching it. It's one of the most watched programs over Christmas. And you look and you think, it's incredible that people would hear the good news that we know that we are made to be loved by God and to love others. I think there's the rise of the open hearts. This last 12 months has shown us some incredible things. It's shown me the rise of the unknown pastor. It's shown me the rise of ministry or kingdom advancement beyond a Sunday setting. It's shown us the rise of unity in the body. And lastly, it has definitely shown us the rise of open hearts. So there's my thoughts of the last 12 months. And I'm going to be putting out a whole load more podcasts over 2023. And so I'd love you to jump in on them. I'm going to try to do a whole lot more this year and carve some extra time out. I really appreciate all your feedback, especially those who have subscribed or left comments on videos or on the Apple podcast system where you're able to essentially put a review. Hugely helps. And I'm so, so grateful for it. So 2023, I'm going to be kicking more stuff out. And so massive thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your week.